Part 6.
A. Spiderweb music.
Listen to this. Apparently, male spiders can control the tension of their webs to optimize their sensory powers, helping them locate and identify partners. The spider silk transmits vibrations at different frequencies, which sends information back to the spider. It sort of works like notes travelling along a plucked guitar string. Researchers at the University of Oxford reported that many male spiders actually generated a kind of musical pattern. Female spiders then use this pattern to decide whether the male spider is the right guy for her. I wonder if the male spider making his merry music realizes that many females are going to eat them after mating.
B. The tree that saves the river.
So, as you can see, the Thompson River is a bit muddy this time of year. Over there, on the right bank, you can see some coolabah trees.
Coolabahs, as in Waltzing Matilda? Under the shade of the coolabah tree.
Too right. Now, those coolabah trees are incredibly important for the Thompson River. The roots of the coolabah trees keep the riverbank intact. If you take away the trees, the banks would wash away when the river floods. The river would then spread, shallow out, dry out, and eventually disappear altogether.
Wow! So without the coolabah trees, the Thompson River wouldn't really exist.
C. Saved by Ace.
And from Indianapolis, Indiana, this charming story of a brave dog called Ace. 13-year-old Nick Lamb is legally deaf, and he was home alone earlier this year when a fire broke out that might have cost him his life if it hadn't been for his dog, Ace. Nick had removed the external components of his cochlear implants to take a nap, so he was unable to hear the sound of the smoke alarm. Fortunately, the quick-thinking pit bull seemed to understand that his master was in danger, and he frantically started licking Nick's face. The boy woke up, and they both made it out alive. The house was almost completely destroyed in the blaze. "Ace saved my life," says Nick. "No doubt about it. Good boy."
D. Raven.
Most of us are familiar with ravens. A large black bird with a harsh croaking voice, it is a familiar sight all over Europe. Ravens have an appetite for carrion, and have therefore traditionally been associated with battlefields, corpses, and death. There is an interesting and in some way a logical connection between ravens and Odin, the Norse god of war. In Norse mythology, two ravens acted as Odin's spies. He sent them out each morning to fly around the world and gather information. When they returned, they perched on his shoulders and whispered all the news which they saw and heard into his ear. Thus, Odin knew everything that happened in the world. And of course, when wars broke out, Odin's ravens always had plenty to eat. No wonder the birds were so unpopular in medieval Europe.
E. Wild places.
Why do we feel the urge to conquer mountains? Why are we scaling Everest in ever-increasing numbers? Why do we continue to climb sacred places like Uluru in Australia, despite the requests of the traditional owners not to do so? Why are we going to isolated coral reefs and remote Arctic islands to marvel at the pristine environment when we know very well that our visits are contributing to the destruction of those beautiful but fragile ecosystems? Earlier explorers traveled far and wide for the benefit of humanity, map-making, anthropology, botany, and exploring possible trade routes, to name but a few reasons. But since much of the Earth has now been mapped, our challenges are personal ones, aren't they? Many of us want to test ourselves against nature. Climb that mountain peak, explore that cave, dive with reef sharks. I personally think that this sort of adrenaline tourism is ego-driven. I think we all need to take a good hard look at the true impact of our travels on these once wild places. They are incredibly beautiful, to be sure, but in order to save them, I think we need to stay away from them.